Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, and I would like to welcome you to The Backyard Labrish. It's the first week in October, which is the month of Halloween. But tonight, instead of mystery, we are going to be talking about history. And as all my fans know, I am always so happy when I'm talking about Jamaica land we love being the first. We have so many firsts to celebrate that I'm always happy to discover another first. As we say in our language, we little but we talawa. So, for the visitors who might not know what that means we're a tiny spot on the map, but we are larger than life. We are big, and we always think a lot of ourselves, and we always love to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I want to welcome all the listeners on the board from 973 and 718 and 630 and 440 and people all over the world, wherever you're listening now or later on. I want to welcome you to The Backyard. When we come to The Backyard on a Wednesday afternoon at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we pretend we are in Jamaica. We have a virtual trip to our homeland, and for those of you who have just visited to the land, you had so much fun, no problem, man, and you pretend you're there with the trade winds blowing softly across your cheeks and the smell of jerk coming up from wherever you are, or the smell of the beautiful flowers that perhaps are in bloom all year. So tonight, whether it's hot or cold, wherever you are, you are in The Backyard. So welcome again, and tonight we are going to be talking about the first British colony to establish a postal service. So before I do that, I just wanted to let you know that one of the reasons I selected this topic tonight is because actually October 9th is World Post Day, and that's a special day where the Postal Service all over the world is recognized, really, for what they contribute to the world's movement of mail. And it's so this sort of coincides with that. And of course, I'm always exuberant when I'm talking about positive information about my country. So I want to let you know that October 9th is World Post Day, and collectively over 3 million, now this is something that was really featured in that article that I read. Let me first tell you some information. There are 660 million, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yes, post offices all over the world. They have over 5 million employees collectively, and they move over 436 million letters and over 6 million parcels. So we just take those, you know, just going to the post office and dropping things off for granted. But tonight we're going to get a little history lesson of how it started, especially in Jamaica. So I thought I'd give you that little tidbit. And here's another tidbit about the postal system worldwide, too. They moved, and this is something very current, 3 million copies of the final Harry Potter novel that was ordered on the internet. It is considered the largest ever single postal mailing that was ever done in history so far. And I'm sure that you might not be a Harry Potter fan, but you know that it originated in England. So it being the largest single postal delivery, which means that it was picked up, I suppose, at one place. And this is the final edition of the last book that was published by the author. So it's funny how we just sort of don't even realize, although the internet is the way people communicate most, there's still items that, you know, you can't send over the internet. So the postal system is very important. So with that said, let me now go to the information. And as I always remind my listeners that a labrish is an interaction between people where we get together and discuss a subject that might be interested to everyone. And so we want to have some participation. So as usual, I'm going to be reading from Pieces of the Past, which I always like to recognize Dr. Rebecca Tortella's contribution to that segment of the Gleaner Company. That is online. It's posted. You can Google it and get there on their marvelous articles. I just try to bring them to life by reading them to you and, of course, always adding my sidebar, as I call it. So tonight I'm reading this called The Stamp of History. And it is the Jamaica Postal Service. And these are the words of Dr. Rebecca Tortella. In 1663, during the reign of Charles II, Jamaica's lieutenant governor, who was then Thomas Lynch, was ordered to make arrangements for a post office under the management of the Postmaster General of London. Jamaican residents were anxious over the slow rate of mail delivery in 1671. So Gabriel Martin was appointed Postmaster General of Jamaica, and Jamaica chalked up another historical first, the first English colony to have a post office. Now, Martin established two, one in St. Diego de la Vega, which is now Spanish Town, and one at the port of Passage Fort, once called the mouth of the Rio Cobre, in St. Catherine. He was granted a monopoly to supply horses to carry mail to and from these posts, which is the two post offices I just mentioned. But the joy of internal male service, which never seemed to be organized outside of the capital city, was short-lived. Records show that at some point, soon after, people were displeased with Martin's work and returned to the old habit of having sea captains carry mail while authorities tried to establish an organized internal and external service. So I suppose internally in the island, it doesn't state in this article how the communication got, you know, carried across the island, but we know for sure that they went back to the whatever they were sending overseas by the old way they had. Now, Jamaican residents would send letters in duplicates and triplicates out of consideration of losses at sea due to storms and or capture by enemy ships or pirates. So once they send something to sea, by sea, they never know whether it was going to get there or not. Now back to the article. A few decades later, James Whale or Wales, they're not sure of the name, W-A-L-E or W-A-L-E-S, was appointed Postmaster General, but was soon accused by Port Royal merchants of overcharging, and he was dismissed. In 1690, all West Indian post offices came under the jurisdiction, listen to this, of New York Postmaster General James Neal, who held this position until his death in the early 18th century. So I don't know if anybody on the board knew that we were once connected to the New York Post Office. Isn't that something? But anyway, back to the article. The 18th century service expands. That's the caption of this section of the article. In 1705, one enterprising Mr. Drummer started a packet service that ensured the delivery of some 1,500 private letters to England, even though in a given year, out of 12 monthly packets sent, an average of 4 would arrive successfully. Often the mail would contain prayers for safe arrival and abbreviations such as QDC, which was a Latin version of, I'll give you the English part of it. It was concertive or which whom God preserved. That was what the Q whatever meant. And a hand stamp noting the letter's point of origin. So it would contain that acronym QDC and a hand stamp. Now, it would often find its way to an institution known as the Jamaican Coffee House, which was in St. Michael's Alley in London. This coffee house was usually the first stop for ship captains upon arrival in London, so as to deliver mail and give news to the West Indian merchants gathered there. So as I can understand by this, the merchants would gather at this particular coffee shop to pick up the mail from the island of Jamaica. And 4 out of 12 packages that were sent monthly would arrive. So when we're thinking that our letters might not have gotten to where we sent them, we have to remember in the old days, only 4 of 12 arrived safely, and I'm sure they were paying for it then. So I always say how things have improved a lot, because I think most of the mail gets where it's going now. But I thought that was interesting that the first system failed. Anyhow, everybody was complaining of being overcharged, as we are now, as they want to raise the postal fee here in the United States. But let's get back to the article. Now, remember, this is Mr. Drummond who started this private thing. Now, after Drummond's death in 1713, regular mail service did not resume until 1745. So there was a big gap there when nothing happened. Now, although in 1711, the act establishing general post offices for all Her Majesty's domains was passed, this created post offices throughout the West Indies under the control of London's General Post Office. Jamaica's post office was reestablished in 1720, but the planters had grown so accustomed to merchant sea captains carrying their mail, that they greeted its arrival with a good measure of doubt. The packet service method was revived briefly during the late 1700s with the Postal Service operating 10 packet boats, and they were called man of wars. I've heard that name before, on two West Indian routes, with Kingston serving as one of the main arrival bases for the West Indian fleet. So there we have a little history about how it all got started. And I always like to compare things to what's happening now. So if you notice, in the first, even though it was supposed to be a great thing, people weren't pleased. They wanted it faster. It wasn't fast enough. So this private person capitalized on the displeasure of the planters, and he came up with the first package service. So here we are thinking that we have two big package services here in the United States. And, you know, from 1713, somebody had that idea. Isn't that something? Okay, let's go back to the article. And I'm looking at the board here. If you ever want to fill in on some of the sidebars here, please raise your hand by hitting 1 on your telephone. And at this point, I'd like to welcome our listeners listening online on their computers, and to remind you that if you want to call in, you have to dial the phone. So, you know, I'm not able to communicate with you on the computer. So if you got one of our promos, the numbers, they're 718, and I'll fill in the other numbers now because it's not on my board anymore. So I'll tell you later if you want to come in and chat with me. All right, let's go back to Dr. Tortella's article. Now, during this century, bolstered by the island's growth due to sugar cultivation, Postmaster General Edmund Dismore, who was appointed in 1754, oversaw the creation of some 34 post offices throughout the island, in Spanish Town, and it gives you all the different places: Old Harbor, Clarendon, Lacovia, Black River, Sablamar. I mean, they really got spread out, Port Maria, among others. Now, head offices were located at Yalas, Morant Bay, and Martabray. Many of these remain active locations today. Letters were generally mailed under the seal of the General Post Office and delivered to the ship's master with the ship's name written in the corner of the envelope. The straight Jamaican hand stamp was introduced in 1746, and in 1776, the main post office moved to Kingston Harbor Street, and the Postal Service operated as a branch of the British post office. That was to change in the 19th century. So there we have how it all got started. And I thought that, number one, it was interesting that we were the first colony. Now, when you think, remember, I think last week we spoke about being the second after Canada, which was a British colony. And here we are the first. So obviously we got it before Canada, which is amazing to me. But I suppose there were more planters. There weren't anything to plant in Canada. It's too cold up there. So the people who needed communication more were, of course, the slave owners, I suppose, but the English that was then established on the island. Now, let's go back to the article and find out how we're going to be evolving now into something more modern. So, now, bear with me here. Now, after Drummond's death in 1730, no, I read that already. Now, let's go to the 19th and 20th centuries. Jamaica's, how are we going to get the stamps now? Remember, we're using hand stamps and the ship's name. So, listen to this. I thought, for me, this was very interesting. By 1840, steamship service had arrived. I suppose it was the other kind of ship, man-o-wars, and stamps had been created. Prior to the use of stamps, recipients paid for mail on delivery. So if they refused to pay, then no revenue was collected. Huh, they didn't say if the letter was delivered if they didn't pay. Now, the brainchild of an English schoolmaster, Rowland Hill, the first stamps, the one penny black and the two penny black and the two penny blue, each carrying a likeness of Queen Victoria, noted a set rear, regardless of distance, traveled and went on sale in 1840. So here I learned that the first stamp that you put on the envelope was the brainchild of a teacher. I thought that was very interesting because, remember, they used to stamp it with hand and write the ship's name. So this brilliant man came up, Mr. Hill, came up with the idea of a stamp that would go on the envelope. And they have a picture on the website of what the first penny stamp looked like. Very interesting, and it's a very clear picture, really. It has the ships that I suppose would be the steamships then that would carry the mail. So in 1858, Jamaica was given control of her own postal service. The issuing of her own stamps was soon to follow. During the period of 1858 to 1860, stamps of Great Britain were issued, cancelled with specific numerical obliteration, identifying country and town of mailing. Jamaica used these and other British stamps until 1860, when the island began to produce its own with a distinctive pineapple watermark. The stamps were, however, still made in England. Watermarks or mainly for security purposes, making forgery more difficult. Now, so they had that stuff even going on then. Huh. Until 1900, when Jamaica's first pictorial stamp of the some falls, Landovery Falls, was issued. All stamps bore pictures of Queen Victoria wearing a laurel. In 1877, Jamaica joined the Postal Union, and by 1903, bicycles were being used to deliver mail. Daily deliver, intra-island, and direct fortnightly service between Jamaica and the United Kingdom had begun. Mail was becoming faster and more efficient, and mailboxes were appearing all over, even on passenger trains. And if some of our listeners will remember when we spoke about the trains a couple of weeks ago, we talked about post office people, mail people, were actually riding on the trains. So it's quite interesting how this all came about. So, and they have some interesting stamps for people who really collect stamps or are curious about it. I invite you to go to the Pieces of Jamaica site. I might try to put some of this on the Backyard Library site, which I hope some of our listeners are visiting now and then. In 1907, following the massive earthquake that demolished much of downtown Kingston, the postal service was only briefly interrupted. It resumed under a lingam vitae tree in the yard where the executive branch of the postal service has once stood. Soon after, this is after the earthquake, they operated on the lingam vitae tree. I love that. Soon after the main office moved to King Street, I'm sure that's where it still is, a year later in 1908, the COD system was established. And for visitors who might not know what that is, it's cash on delivery system, was established. By 1924, there was a post office every 17.8 square miles. And soon after, Jamaican postcards began to be issued. Before then, British postcards had been the only option. There has been a few other brief periods with breaks in service. In 1916, by World War I, and in the 1940s, by World War II. In 1919, work stopped due to a strike. So there you have it, some update. So we're up to 1916 now, and I'd like to invite members on the board that, I don't know if anybody goes back that far, I don't think so, but if your grandmother or great-grandmother told you stories about the post office, I know that the post office and the postmistress, did they have postmasters too? I can't remember. But anyway, it was mostly postmistresses, I remember, played a very important part in the district or the main place where the post office was. But it's interesting to find out that by 1924, there was a post office for every 17.8 square miles of the island. I thought that was big because I know that in other countries here, I don't know the history and where how it's set up here in the United States. But it seemed to me that in some remote parts, it might not be that close. You know, because there's still a parts of different parts of the world where there's a lot of uninhabited land. I know, especially in Canada, there's vast amount of land without, you know, any population. So I thought that was quite some interesting tidbits there. So I don't see any hands on the board, so I'm going to continue to bring history alive by reading it to you, and I hope you're enjoying it. Now, let's go to the 21st century. Branching out is the name of that part of the article. Today, the main office stands on South Camp Road and is known as the Postal Corporation of Jamaica Limited, Postal Corp. For short. So it is the responsibility of the Post and Telecommunications Department, which is a division within the Ministry of Industry, Commerce, Science, and Technology. The Postmaster General of Jamaica is assisted by two deputies, a senior management team, a team of 11 regional managers, and close to 2,800 employees. Now, in the year 2000 to 2001, the Postal Corp delivered over 59 million pieces of domestic mail and processed and delivered over 31 million pieces of mail to overseas destination. So a lot of times we take these places and people for granted, but, you know, they play an important part in each country's commerce and communication, and that's so for all over the world. And, you know, as it comes to this Postal Day, I thought this was so appropriate to sort of bring some of this to life, because I know a lot of times we just take so much for granted. I don't know what the, if the American postal system has a similar history, since I'm not doing that, you know, I'm just doing about Jamaica Land We Love, but I thought it was interesting that the stamp was the brainchild of a teacher. You know, I suppose, I don't know what would be his motivation if he was just passionate about, you know, that kind of transmission of information or what. I would have, I'm going to do a little research. I love to research people and see if there's anything on this Mr. Hill, because he sounds like a thinker. Anyway, anyone on the board want to weigh in on this? If not, I'm going to read. Now, let's go back to the article until I see a raised hand. And at this time, let me just take a break to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. This is Margaret Marshall, your host. The whole objective and passion of this particular show, every Wednesday at 8, is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse history of Jamaica, land we love. And it is my pleasure to serve you as far as bringing some of this documentation that is not original, not by me, but I always like to give credit to the wonderful people, historians, that are bringing this information or making it available to us that have an interest in it. So tonight, I am sure that my listeners online and on the board will help me to thank Dr. Tortella for her contribution of this article and the Jamaican Gleaner, which I'm going to do a show on soon, about how that all started. That's an interesting story, too. But we're grateful to all these people for their contribution to history, because, you know, it's so important to preserve history. And I encourage my listeners and my fans to remember that I'm always trying to find people who have memories of growing up in Jamaica with an interesting story that might be relevant to us or interesting to us. And who knows, long after we're gone, these shows will be archived. And if you have young people in your family that are interested in history and culture, even if you're not Jamaican, we invite you to have them listen to the show, because there's just some interesting things that may be of interest to the young folks, even though we think they're not really listening. So I will go back to finishing up Dr. Tortella's article here and giving you a little more information about what is happening now. So the Corporation of Jamaica Limited, which is the, I told you what they're responsible for. Now, the corporation is proud to offer services such as a Zip Mail, which is a next-day guaranteed local mail service with tracking facilities. You know, so they're up to date. A DHL and Express Mail to the U.S., U.K., Caribbean, and Canada, as well as a Caribbean Mail Hub at the Norman Manley International Airport. They also offer the following commercial and government service: pension, social benefits, and bill payment, gaming products, phone cards, money transfers, fax and photocopy services, newspapers, magazines, internet access, small business loan generation, loan repayment and collection, and automated banking. Now, the post office offers all of that. Interesting. Now, with the advent of the Postal Service Act, which is slated to come into effect in 2004, well, I suppose it's in effect already, the post office will become a statutory body with full powers under the law, capable of regulating the courier section and setting market rates for its products and services. Future plans include providing a state-of-the-art courier service, private letterboxes at more convenient locations island-wide, commercialized products, and a post museum in Falmouth's recently restored Georgian post office. So for those of you who might be planning to visit and you like museums, I am hoping that this postal museum in Falmouth is operational and working. And at this point, I'd like to find out from any listeners of the on the board if they have any current information about that plan, because, you know, this, I don't know the date that this article was posted on Pieces of the Past, but I'll scroll down and see if I see a date here. But here are some notes on the article. It said the first stamps were much like those in use today. They differ only in that they carry no country name and were intended only for domestic use. Now, the first official name for stamp collecting was then, and I'll spell it, T-I-M-B-R-O-M-A-N-I-A, Timbromania, or Timbre, T-I-M-B-R-E, which is French for stamp. In 1864, the word P-H-I-L-A-T-E-R-Y, pelletary, the current official term for stamp collecting, was used. It comes from two Greek words that mean the love of tax-free things. Interesting. So if you have a love for tax-free things and you're not yet a stamp collector, you might want to know at least what you would be called by the Greeks, or in the Greek language. You would be a P-H-I-L-A-T-E-L-Y. So the most expensive stamp is the 1990 to 1921 first inverted frame. That's the stamp that is the most expensive stamp, and its value in pounds at the time was 13,000 to 18,000 pounds, and there are 19 known that is available. So if you are an owner of this rare stamp, I mean, you've got something going on. The rarest, that is the most expensive stamp, but the rarest stamp is the 6D Freedom from Slavery stamp, and the value of that is about 14,000 pounds, so you can convert that in U.S. dollars, I don't know what it is, of which there are only 8 known copies, and 4 is in the Queen's collection, and 4 in the hands of private collectors. So if you want one of those, I think you're out of luck. But the others have more that were 19, at least that was 19. This is, we're only talking about 4 of these that were ever made, I suppose. That's the rarest ones, the slavery, freedom from slavery. So let's, another tidbit is that the Jamaican Stamp Society currently has 28 members and publishes newsletters about 6 times per year. It meets the second Saturday every month, and it tells you where it meets in Jamaica at the UC, and you can contact them. So if you're a stamp collector, you know, and you are interested in Jamaican stamps and trading with some other stamp collectors or interacting with them, if you go to Pieces of the Past, then you will find the information at the bottom of where you can get in touch with your peers who are stamp collectors on the island of Jamaica. So with that said, I am going to open up the board to any of our listeners that would like to weigh in with some stamp stories or some postal stories. Or I know right now or years ago, because I don't really send a lot of things to Jamaica now, I have not a lot of close relatives living there. But I remember, you know, in the early 60s, we were always complaining about things being so slow to get there, number one, and we weren't sure if they were going to be delivered with everything intact, number two. But what I find here now is that the people in 17, whatever, had the same concerns. Only theirs were more from, first of all, they thought it was slow. So we always want things quicker than sometimes it is possible. But in those days, they weren't sure it was going to get there for one reason or the other, mostly that the ships might be attacked by pirates or enemy, or you just never know. So my point is, we've come a long way, baby, and we have a lot to be rejoicing about, because most times, whether we're mailing something within the country we live or outside the country to somebody else, we don't worry about it that much. You know, we just figure it's going to get there. So not much have changed in the way we think and behave, and things were a lot more difficult then, and people wanted them to be better. And it's always good to want change and want things to be better. But my point is, you know, as we look back historically, we see that even though we've come so far, there are still situations that we have to deal with. So what is my point of saying all of this? A lot of times we just measure in minors, because, you know, it's nothing is perfect, and we always should try to make things better. As the Jamaican saying goes, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your good, better, best. But always remember that we've come a long way. I feel so blessed to be living in a time with all the technology we have available to us, because now we don't even have to wait on the mail. We want to get a message to a friend in another part of the world, and those of us who are into texting can text it, or we can email it, or we can, you know, fax it. And we have just come such a long way, and we're still taking so much for granted. But I like to reflect from the days I'm coming from, and even way before my mother's time, which was 17-something, things were a lot more difficult. But what? People still got things done. They still moved mail. And now we find that even though a lot of people think, and we're not, it's called snail mail now when you send in a thing by mail, because you have the internet that is in a nanosecond. But my point is, the snail mail still is very important to commerce worldwide, because you have goods that cannot be transmitted through the internet. So I just suggest that you bless these facilities, you think of them kindly and appreciate them for what they contribute to the world. So since it's going to be the post day on the 9th, October 9th, I want to celebrate them today on Wednesday the 6th. And if you are a postal worker or you have one in the family, I suggest that you tell them how much you appreciate their service. You know, it's so nice when we can appreciate other people for what they do. And a lot of times we as individuals don't feel appreciated for what we do. But it's always good, even if we don't, we can make somebody else feel that their job is important and that we appreciate them. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, if I don't have any interaction on the board or from my fans listening online, I am going to, let me see how much time I have remaining. We have a couple of minutes, and I see a hand on 718-379. I'm going to open up the mic because this is a Labrish, and I want to welcome you from 718-379. This is Margaret in the backyard with the trade winds blowing across my face. Who do I have, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx. This is Lay. The Bronx.
Let me finish that.
The home of the
Yankees.
Champion.
Oh, yes.
The champion New York Yankees.
The New York Yankees, I have to say, not just the Yankees, but the New York Yankees. Well, you are a loyal fan, Mr. Lay, from the Bronx. I want to welcome you to the backyard. Did you know about this postal history?
Sort of. I didn't want to go into a dispute, but I show that the first postmaster general was you mentioned his name, but it wasn't clear to me that it was Edward Dinsmore. He was a
You're talking about the first one in 1671. Gabriel Martin. He was appointed Postmaster General by the English person.
Well, this is my point of contention. My information shows that Edward Dinsmore was appointed first Postmaster General of Jamaica in 1754.
Okay, well, we're talking 1671.
Yeah, well, 16...
Apparently, he might have been a local person then. I don't know.
But 1671...
Dr. Tortello's article.
October 31st, 1671, the first British colony to have established a postal service, a post office, was in Spanish Town, yes.
Right, uh-huh.
But,
no, may I ask
where
you're getting this information from?
Well, I was on a computer this morning looking it up.
So is it Wikipedia?
No.
Okay, all right.
It was another person. I forget the name of the person.
I got you.
Giving a little composite of the history of the post office.
Right.
But on a lighter side, I don't know if people remember the postman and these bicycles that the postmen used to ride. And
I remember that special ring of the bell.
Special ring.
Right.
And it would be unfortunate if you had a bad dog in your house because it's... As soon as the dog hears the ring, and this seems to be a universal thing, not just my dog, Rex, but I can remember friends of mine with Alsatian dogs, as we used to call them, would
tear
along
the
hill.
Which are German
ships, the U.S. You know, and funny, I don't understand how they never actually go outside the street and attack the postman, but they would chase up and down the yard after the postman. That is what I remember about the postman delivery. But those guys were very dedicated.
Right. Well, did you know that it was the horses before?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I don't know from our parents if they had the horses or the bicycles. That's something I don't remember. Well, I never asked my mother when she was growing up as a child, not in Kingston, but in Savlamar, how the mail, I don't think it was delivered door to door. I think you had to go to the post office.
I think you're right. I remember going up to St. Mary's visiting, and people would go down to the post office and collect their mail.
Right, right. I think that's the way it was delivered in the rural parts of the island. And
but
if anybody on the board have any information on that, we would like for you to fill us in. But not only are you filling us in, but remember we have people who come by after the show is posted and listen to the show because they love history or they didn't have time to get on the board tonight. So you will be helping a lot of people to sort of figure it out. So if you have some information you'd like to share with us, please hit 1 on your telephone, and that will tell me that you would like to interact, and I'll be more than happy to open up the mic and welcome you to the backyard. So go on, Mr. Lay from the Bronx.
Well, I just a little note here that I can remember the main post office. Of course, I'm talking about Kingston. I'm from Kingston.
All right.
And my little dog story is a Kingston story, too. As you pointed out, the mail was delivered in a different way in the country.
Right, right.
Yes, but after the earthquake in 1907, the main post office was moved from way down at a point in Kingston to King Street.
Uh-huh. Is that where the main post office was? Is now where the main post office was when we grew up in Kingston in the 40s?
Yes. Yes, and then they constantly upgraded that building, which was a lovely building.
Oh, yes. It was a big building on King Street. It almost took up a whole block to the next street, whatever the next street it was behind it.
Yes, it did. And
I remember there was a parcel post section across from that in the back of whatever that street was.
Right.
And I had a brief, I worked for the post office for a quick minute. During, this must be the early 50s. And I really have a post office story because in those days, I think they were called controllers. They had a controller for different section of the island.
Okay.
So who all worked in Kingston, I suppose, at the main post office. And they would have letters from, I think it would be the postmistress. Did we have postmasters, too?
I don't know of a postmaster, but I think it was characteristic of the post office to have
women
postmasters all over the island.
All I can remember is postmistresses all over. But whenever they had letters of complaint or whatever, it would come to that controller for that particular section. And then I actually worked in the typing pool at that time. And then, you know, people from the typing pool, in my days, most of the careers were stenographers or nurses or teachers. There wasn't anything else. So they would assign it, you know, to a typist who would make a little, on the brief, he would write what he wants to say to whoever was complaining or needed clarification on something, or their package was lost or whatever. And then the person that it was assigned to would sort of make up the letter and send it back to him, that he would have to sign it and get it back out to the thing. So it was quite a process. And I'm talking about perhaps the 50s that would go on. And as it says here in the notes, that Dr. Tortello pointed out, the notes, that everything is quite modernized now. And it would be interesting if anybody knows what's going on.
Well, like in 1960, my information shows that the post office had established a headquarters on South Camp Road, and by 1980, a central sorting office was established there.
Oh, yeah, it mentioned that briefly in the notes here.
Yeah, so they're quite modernized up to this point. And, of course, in 1995, they became corporate. They were registered as the Postal Corporation of Jamaica Limited.
Right.
So that's where we are now at this point.
And it's interesting because the information I gave on October 9th being World Post Day, I got it from a site on a Jamaican website where some executive from the post office was talking about that and giving the information about how important post offices all over the world are to the economy of the world. You know, how important it is. And as I was reading it, I say, we really just take it for granted. We're just sending our letter with perhaps if we're sending a gift or money or so, but we don't know that there's a lot of other things that get moved by the post office, including people, in terms of their, perhaps personal belongings or things like that. But I never even thought of books that are printed in one country. And although so many people are thinking or knowing that pretty soon there might not be a lot of books being printed because people are reading publications on things like Kindle and whatever the other applications for reading books. You have books on tapes and all of that. But there's still printed books that are printed in one country that has to be shipped all over the world. And apparently it's being done not by the other private or not mostly by the private shippers like the ones we have in this country, but by the post office in these various countries. I never thought of that.
Well, in most countries, the postal service is a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And even in this country, it was in recent years that these private firms that you're talking about were authorized to take mail.
Give them some competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is documented that the post office is actually operating at a deficit. That's why they want to keep raising the stamps. And recently, whatever board controls that denied a raise that they were asking, a 2 cents raise on the current postage that we're paying now through the post office. But, it's still more economical to send things through the post office than it is through the big shipping services. They really contribute a lot to the movement of package passes and letters, information. People still have documentation that cannot be transmitted online, or they're not transmitting online, and they have to send actual physical papers. So they still play an important part in the world's economy. So is there any other tidbit, Mr. Lay, from the Bronx?
No.
We have just a couple more minutes.
Yeah, my note ends in the year 2000 when the Postal Corp, the Post Corp, they call it. They don't call it Post Office. Post Corp began operation in the year 2000.
Right.
Is the end of my notes. I did note a lovely picture of the postmaster, the current postmaster general. I forget her name, but she is, of course, a
female
woman.
Female.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
well, that didn't happen when in my time there.
Oh.
Which I left there in 1959, and I can't remember any post Mrs. General. There were a lot of post Mrs.'s all over, mistresses all over the island.
But
they were quite important people in their day.
It's interesting, though, that her deputy, and she, I think there were our four deputies, her deputy, her first deputy, was a male.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as opposed to,
interesting.
Yeah. So
one of these days we're going to, on the show, we'll perhaps do the women in important jobs now, which is, you know, a big difference from the old days.
I'll
so that's
out
a good
that
idea
one.
For you. At this point, Leigh, I'd like to share with you and the rest of the callers that we're always open to having discussions that will interest you. So if you have a topic you would like to for us to explore, discover, that will enlighten and celebrate, and that we want to preserve, we are always open to suggestions or requests. So please feel free to go to our website, which is backyardlabrish.com, and you know the triple W, and send us a note and let us know what you would like to hear, because this show is about you, and we want to keep you entertained and informed. And so please let us know. And we ask you to continue. Our numbers are getting up there, and people are downloading the shows after they're posted. So we ask that if there's a show that you in our archives that you think will be interesting to one of your peers or family, you know, feel free to share it, because that's what you can do when things are posted on the internet. And you can just copy the URL at your address bar, and if you send them that, it should be a live link that would get them right to the particular show. Or you can send us their email if they'd like to be added to our email list, where we send out a promotion once a week to let our fans know what the upcoming show will be about. And that goes out mostly on a Monday before the show. So we want to thank you again for being loyal, to be one of our loyal guests. We want to thank the listeners who come by later. And we always want to remind you, we're not a political platform. We're not even politically correct. We don't discuss religion or, you know, politics. We're here to enlighten, celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And our subjects usually cover the things that most of the seniors or people who left Jamaica before independence were not really exposed to or had time for while they were on the island. And a lot of us might not be planning to return permanently. We always like to visit, but we still love to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve, because we that are Jamaicans, you once a Jamaican, always a Jamaican, we adapt very nicely to whatever country we reside, and we do our thing, whether we're working in any capacity. We're usually quite passionate about what we do. So we are happy where we are, but we still love where we're from. So that's what I like to do here. This is by passion, to be always celebrating something positive about my island. So with that said, I want to thank all our listeners for being with me this evening in the backyard. I hope you enjoyed the hour, and I hope you'll come back again next week. And Mr. Lay, since you're the only hand mic I have open, I want to say one more time, if any of the listeners on the board want to chime in, now we have a couple of minutes left on our scheduled time, so So you may do so by hitting 1 on your telephone. That's only if you're live this evening when you come by and it shows archived. You're not able to do that, but you can send us an email and let us know if you enjoyed the show. You can also tag the show. There's a little icon somewhere on the website, if you're listening on the website, where you can actually tag the show and tag it as your favorite or make a comment about it. So please, we appreciate feedback. And I see a 631 hand up, so I'm going to open the mic. Welcome to the backyard. You got Margaret in her easy chair. Who do I have?
Well, this is Janine in our easy chair, too.
Welcome, Janine. Where are you calling from?
From Long Island.
Oh, loyal fan from Long Island.
Just want you to know that I was here listening to everything. Didn't come on, but I was here.
Oh, well,
and
welcome.
Very
and thank you for being there.
Yes.
And I hope you enjoyed the little tidbit of history.
Yes, I did. Yes,
okay.
I did.
And now we have a little better appreciation for the Postal Service.
I'm telling you. And I remember distinctly what Leigh was saying with the dogs.
Yes,
you know, they would run
yes.
along the fence, chase, you know, but they wouldn't go outside.
Right. That, well, they were fenced in most times, weren't they?
Yeah, yes. That gave me a little laugh because it's like I went back, you know, to that time.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when we had the bicycles,
yes.
I didn't even then that the horses preceded them. But I don't know if the horses did home delivery. Because I think it's only Kingston that you had home delivery, don't
yes.
you think?
Yes, yes.
I don't think you had it even once the capital got moved from Spanish Town,
right.
Kingston. I think Kingston and St. Andrew may have been the only place.
Yes, yes.
Where you had home delivery.
Yes.
In the 40s and 50s. Because in the country, do you know anything about how the letter was, how it was done in the country parts, Janine?
No, to be honest, I don't know much about the country, so. You know.
Okay, and nobody else on the board seemed to perhaps have the information. So thank you, Janine, for joining us and letting us know
welcome.
You're there.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I just want to say, you know, the postman was really respected, and even at school, I remember they taught us a song about the postman, you know. So
do you
they were well recognized.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In the old days, I remember just like teachers and headmasters were actually revered,
yes.
So was the postmistress of the... Do you remember any postmasters in the country?
No, no.
It was always the Postmaster General in Kingston,
yes.
And everybody else was women.
Yes,
in charge
yes.
of the post offices all over the island.
Yes.
And if anyone would like to correct me on that, you know, I'm always open to be corrected. As I say, I'm not always correct. And some of the historical material don't have some of this information. So we just have to, that's why I do so many sidebars and just sort of make up my own stories. So I do hope that my listeners are relaxed. You know, when we are in the backyard, we are just relaxed. We're
right.
hanging out. So I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with the seniors and hope you enjoyed the show. And we hope to see you next week when we will have another interesting historical little walk. And please let your friends know and ask them to join you in the backyard. So with that, Leigh and Janine, thank you for being vocal. And, you know, you're talking to the rest of the world. The whole world is your oyster.
Right.
When you come to the backyard. You're not just conversing with your friends and me.
Yes.
Because people come by later and listen.
Listen.
So
right.
I want to thank you and to remind you, as I always end my shows, you know, in Jamaica I'd say walk good and come back soon.
Right.
But I am going to say that plus make it a great week.
God
bye.
Bless.
All righty. Good night.
Night.